Hey guys, this is Bull Buchanan. Welcome to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Hey guys, welcome to Live in Color with Wolfie D. My man, Jimmy, across the street. What up?
Not much, brother. How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Wood carving, man. You know what I'm doing? You know I'm all up into that, man. And I hope the people have seen, or the listeners, I say the people, that's what I'm used to calling them.
Yeah.
But the listeners, man, get on my Facebook, do all that. I got some cool stuff coming out.
You
clocks.
Do.
Wait till this checkerboard comes out. That's what I'm working on right now. I'm sweating. I'm in the garage talking to y'all right now. I just got done
earning it
out the checkerboard part and then sanding it down a little bit and then gonna do a few other things. So,
well, let me tell you a cool story here, man.
Tell me a cool story, Jimmy.
Yeah, this is super cool. This just tells you. All right, so previously we had Colorado Kid. Excellent numbers. Y'all turned out in droves. Really cool, y'all, listening so well to all of our great shows. Thank you so much for that. But prior to that was George South. We know George South. The numbers were awesome. George did great, great interview. We could have talked to him for 25 hours and almost ran out of stuff. So if you notice, some people are friends with me on Facebook. I did post something about my mom. She was having back surgery. She fused her L4 and L5 and then had some stuff fixed with bone spurs in her back and stuff, just real painful stuff. And so I posted that on Facebook. And of course, George is my friend on Facebook. He's probably your friend and a lot of people's friend. But anyway, long story short, George texts me and he says, "Hey brother, how's mom?" And I said, "Holy cow, man." Like, I didn't say, "Hey, George, pray for her." Obviously, thank you, George, for praying for her. But almost every day or every other day, Mr. George South has texted me or sent me some kind of message asking how my mom was doing. Dude, does that just not tell you exactly what kind of guy he is, man?
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely, man. That's awesome. I feel I knew that, but there's confirmation. Anybody that was questioning it, there you go.
Absolutely. And we've heard people don't like him for some reason, or at least one guy doesn't like him, and we're not getting into
one
that.
One guy on Earth or something.
One guy on Earth, which is a pretty good percentage, actually, if you think about it. But anyway, so yeah, dude, I'm just so impressed. I mean, he didn't have to text me even once, and he's done it probably five times. Man. Anyway, so, and then, of course, you know, we had Colorado Kid on, and everybody had, you know, great response to that, especially talking the Burt Flint stuff.
Yeah, the soundbite was great.
Perfect.
It was not scripted, folks, I promise. That's the funniest part about it, man.
And honestly, you and I didn't even know how to ask it, right?
I mean, I know. That's what they were like, "Well, we got to address it, man."
Right.
So it's there, so we got to address it. And I confronted the elephant in the room, and I slayed him like the Black Panther in Africa or Zimbabwe or wait a minute, hold on.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda.
Yes. You killmongered him. Yeah. That was cool. But yeah, for sure, man. Just really cool. And I'm glad you asked it. And I think people really responded well to that. So for sure. But yeah, man, the cool thing is, dude, we were thinking about shows and you come up to me and you're like, "Hey man, I don't know, you know, like, what are we going to do for next week?" And we're thinking, and you just start looking through your phone Rolodex, and you're like, "Who do I have here?" And boom.
A phone.
Yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden, boom, Bull Buchanan pops up. And dude, I'm stoked. I've done my research, as everyone knows. Yeah. I do my research. And sure enough, I'm excited to talk to Mr. Bull Buchanan.
Since this time I've seen him, he's a different dude. So I got lots of questions. You know me. my love of true crime and cops and stuff like that. So so we will be back in just couple of minutes, Jimmy? 1 minute, 2 minutes? I don't know. You edit shit. You tell me. But we'll be back here in just a minute, and we're talking to Bull Buchanan.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, to get your official Live It in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live It in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, we are back. And as promised, I say that one too loud. I'm starting to catch my words, Jimmy. But as promised, as advertised, we got one of my old friends. Haven't seen him and talked to him in such a long time, and things have definitely changed. Now, before I introduce him, I want to go through something here real quick, Jimmy, with you. And okay. I know he's listening right now, but don't chime in, Bull. You get to sit right there. Just hang on just a second. So, Jimmy, you know I'm pretty much a huge mark for Cops and On Patrol Live and all that stuff. I love that stuff. Love watching.
Yeah, of course.
And so we know that our guest is he's a deputy, I believe, still. I think so. So what I need to know from him before we get started on this now is anybody, I know he's saying a lot of shit that I wasn't involved in, maybe some shit that I was, but I know he's in the wrestling business. He's saying a lot of shit. So Bull Buchanan, can you put your right arm in the air and say, I promise I'm not going to tell on nobody and get him arrested, Wolfie?
I promise I'm off duty. Anything that's said, including about me, never goes any further than here.
What's the statute of limitations?
It's Bull, way past.
How in the hell are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm great. I'm great. I'm still living the dream, I guess.
Hey man, I saw like a quote or something that you put that like you lived your first dream, which was wrestling, and now you're living your second, man. So this means a lot to you. And I mean, I guess go into it because I really don't. I kind of heard that you did this, but I just really looked it up. And so this is your second dream, and what does this mean to you? And tell me about that part of it.
Yeah, well, so. When I was in college, I had a roommate that was, he knew one of the nearby county sheriffs. And we would always talk about it, you know, yeah, we get out of college, you know, but I wanted to wrestle. That was all I ever really wanted to do. But we talked about it. And, you know, I'm be totally honest with you. Mm-hmm. I just recorded it where I could watch it again the other night. But when I watched The Wrestler, the movie with Mickey Rourke, that when it came out. And I thought to myself, God, man, I don't want that to be me, you know, because you see that a lot.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about, well, you know, what could I do from here? I had a couple little small business, but, you know, nothing huge.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking about it and I went back and, you know, thought, man, you know, I used to want to do that. So I just it's here where I live, where I've grown up my whole life. I knew the sheriff. I knew the chief. I knew. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that already work there. So,
right.
You know,
I think when I watch those shows too, I feel like that's a huge advantage for the officers that know the community, you know, I guess you agree with that, right?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah. Cause you know, people
and
you know.
Shit, your ass, man, you're legitimate. What? 6'7", 300.
Yeah. I used to be. I think I've shrunk a couple of inches and lost some weight. But,
okay. Well, yeah. Okay. So we'll call you 6'5", 275.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
That sounds like a lean, mean monster. And also on patrol, I don't know if you've seen him, man. There's this this black cop on there, man. And this dude is like super jacked. I don't know if he's bigger than you, your size, whatever. But I mean, when you walk up on somebody, especially with all your stuff on, it's got to, they be like, I mean, unless they're ready for a gunfight, they're going to be like, oh no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah. Oh no. I'd be stupid to think that it didn't. But you wouldn't believe it. There's always somebody out there, you know, willing to try.
All right. Good. So before, and I promise the listeners, I know this is a wrestling podcast, but let me have my moment, please. Let me have my moment. So here's what I want to know from you. Give me your best, like, because, man, we've seen some crazy stuff. And I don't mean, like, I don't want to hear nothing, you know, morbid or anything like that. But just what's the craziest, like, cop story you got so far?
Oh, God.
That you could say. And you can, we can edit, so you can think for a minute. But.
No, I know what it is. I'm right off the bat, I know what it is. And this okay. is not even like, you know, the most serious stuff I've been in.
Right, right.
This was just more like a comical, you know, I can't yeah. believe this moment. Okay. So right after I got on patrol, I was riding with my FTO, mm-hmm. who's a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. And, what does FTO stand for?
Field training officer.
All right.
You, see, you know, you basically, yeah, before they let you go, you got to ride with somebody for a while and then gotcha. You know, make sure it's not crazy or anything.
Yeah.
So, but we've been joking all week about, I can't remember the doggone movie now, but so where the two cops and where they're sliding sideways and one throws the door open and says slingshot and he just, you know, slings him out and he,
yeah.
you know. So, and we're actually in Bowden, my hometown,
uh-huh.
you know. So we spot this guy that's got some warrants on him. Mm-hmm. And I knew him from high school.
Yeah.
As soon as he sees us, he takes off. And yeah. Make a long story short, the guy's riding with my FTO. We get in some grass and he slides sideways and he yells slingshot.
What?
yeah. And just automatically, I didn't think he was joking. I flung the door open and jumped what? Out and never lost a beat. I think what? It actually, you know, like shoved me forward and gave me a little more speed because I caught up to God. Him. I caught up
you
to him and I started yelling
out of the
at
car?
Him. Yeah. Yeah. Then, I don't know how I did it.
Okay. You got to describe in slow motion this because I what movie is that? I remember the scene.
I can't remember it.
Do you know, Jimmy?
Is it like The Other Guys, maybe, with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, we got The Other Guys. This is great. This is great. All right. So you shoot out the door. Did you launch and go, like, head first into a roll, or how'd you come out of there?
No. I just throwed my feet out, and somehow, I don't know how I did it. It's, I'll never figure it out.
Feet
and I
first.
Didn't even yes, and I didn't even mean to do it that way. It's just kind of I just said, "What the hell?" Flung the door open and jumped, and
that's
I landed on my feet and took off running after this guy.
That is
and
amazing.
I'm looking as we're running, I'm looking, and there's school buses going by, not 200 feet from us, and the kids are looking out the school bus like, "Holy shit!"
Oh my God! This is awesome.
We're
Superman.
Running through people's backyards and through people's backyards. This guy, there was a fence, and it was actually in my old chemistry teacher's backyard.
Oh my God!
He had a fence up around his pool.
Yeah,
and he jumped the fence, and I jumped right after him.
Yeah. You didn't just truck it and go through it?
No, I'd had enough of that for one day.
Yeah.
After I figured out what happened, I had to sit down for a minute because I couldn't believe I actually.
Tell me
that.
There was body cam footage on this.
No. Oh, okay. Not a bit.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, I finally caught him over there and, you know, it all wound up and I was like, what the hell, man? What? It's me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm still thinking, you know, but yeah. That was like third day on the job.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Holy
yeah.
cow.
That man, I guarantee what the guy that was driving. Okay. So after the fact, was he like, dude, I was just fucking kidding.
Yeah. He said, hell man. I know you was actually going to do it. And I said, I thought you said do it.
How fast was he going? How fast do you think he was going when you bailed?
Oh, God, I don't know. Well, I mean, he had already slid it sideways, so we were grinding to a stop. It was on grass, though, so it still had a little speed to it, you know?
Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. Right? I'm saying y'all were doing 40 is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We could have been.
I could see it in my head. That's awesome.
Holy
that is
cow.
The best story, man. Well, that wraps it up, man. Fuck the rest. This is awesome.
I know, right?
Top hat. All right. So, Jimmy, since I went on that rant with cops and stuff, I'm going to let you bring us back here.
Okay. So
I'm tagging you in. I need you to grab a hold.
I got you, brother. Well, I'll bring you back in for the hot tag in a minute. All right. So, so you started in 95 and then you immediately, well, you didn't immediately, but then you eventually worked your way to Smoky Mountain. Tell us a little bit about that, like the process getting to Smoky Mountain.
Well, see, I actually started in 92. I see that somewhere, it's,
okay.
No. That's what I think everybody thinks that I started in Smoky Mountain.
Got it.
But
okay.
I actually had started a couple of years before that. I just I trained down here in Georgia with a guy named James Hammonds, and he'd been trained by.
Hey, real quick. Yeah. This is me. I call it in the ring, man. Dude, okay, so I looked this up. Tell me, am I looking at the right person? This guy had 3 matches and trained you, or was it a different Jim Hammonds? This I looked this guy up, and it said 3 TNA matches, and I went, what?
Oh, no. He never got that far.
Well, there's some guy named James Hammonds that did. And had 3 matches. One was on pay-per-view. But anyway, go ahead.
Holy shit. Well, he was trained by Ted Allen, who trained Big Boss Man.
Nice.
And
Man.
You know, so I got in with those guys and started working locally. And I don't know, Wolf, you may remember this. I don't know, but, you know, when I was growing up in Georgia, a guy named Joe Pettisino had a wrestling block on Saturday nights. He's talking
Joe Pettisino,
wrestling.
Yeah, I did.
And this thing went from like, 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, all the way to like 2 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it had everybody. It had Memphis. It had World Class. It had every territory out there, plus a WWF show and plus a WCW show or NWA.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at the time, I think Deep South was the, after Vince came in and bought, the Black Sunday or Black Saturday, whatever it is.
Right.
When
he
bought it, when I think Ole and then I'm sorry, I'm going back.
It's okay. Yeah.
In history here too far, but Ole and them had started up a new promotion. I think it was on Channel 46, you know, like Championship Wrestling from Georgia or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
This had, and he progressively gotten a little smaller and a little smaller and a little smaller. Mm-hmm. Well, I wound up on the smallest rung of the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
It was just barely hanging on, but it still had that block, and it had Memphis, Smoke. Now, in 92, it had Smoky Mountain, Memphis, and then North Georgia Wrestling, which was what was left of actually Georgia Championship Wrestling in the day. It kind of grew smaller and smaller. You know, it was Deep South for a while, and then it went to North Georgia Wrestling. Well, I got in with those guys, and Smoky Mountain would come to Cobb County Civic Center.
Okay.
Once every 6 months or so. And since Jimmy already had the connection with WWF, he would bring they would let him have a match. Randy Savage was down there one time. Luger was down there one time.
Yeah.
I think Kurt, Mr. Perfect was down there, you know.
Yeah.
So
his
thing drew pretty good. And it was a Smoky Mountain show with usually like one WWF match was the big draw. But they would give North Georgia Wrestling
at the same time.
Yeah. But they would give North Georgia Wrestling a match on there because we helped promote it on the TV down there in Georgia, you know, because Corny was trying to get down into Georgia. He was trying to get out into Carolinas, you know, to grow his product, whatever. Anyway, I finally get on that and Cornette sees me. And I had been friends with New Jack and Mustafa.
Oh.
They were down there at the same time. And, you know, I got to know them. And I got to know all the Armstrongs and Ricky and Robert and all those guys. So,
well, shit, you had
Jack.
To.
yeah, you know,
there's no doubt.
So when they came down, it was my turn. I was working a guy named Lee Thomas, a great worker, had a good look. He could do anything. So we went out there and just pulled out every damn thing we had.
Yeah.
Jimmy come out and watched the match, and he saw me do the leg drop, you know, like Bobby did.
Oh,
Oh, and yeah, nice. I think that's what really got me over with him. But he told me, he said, hey, you know, he said, I really don't have a spot right now, but I keep you in mind. So I kept working. About 3-4 months later, I get a call from him and says, hey, I got an idea for you. Come up here to Smoky Mountain. And, you know, that's how I got up there. And I was his, I was his bodyguard.
Yeah, part of the militia. I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cornette's militia. Yep.
And then another question, and this is going to tie into Wolfie D. So this is, I'm basically just bringing it up, and Wolfie D is going to finish it, because you lead into working the Eliminators, which I want to hear y'all talk about this real quick, because Wolfie and Jamie had a great time working with the Eliminators too, but you actually worked them in ECW. How was that, man?
Oh, it was, you know what? Because, you know, Smoky Mountain shut down. So me and a guy named Billy Black, he used to wrestle over in Japan with a guy named Joel Deaton.
Oh, Thunderfoot.
Yeah. Paul Lee, you know, this was when the tape traders were getting big.
Yeah.
Everybody started trading tapes. And so the wrestling, you know, was growing. And people over here were seeing stuff in Japan they'd never seen.
Yeah.
So he was going to bring Joel and Billy Black in. But mm-hmm. Joel wasn't available. He was out of pocket. He wasn't available. So Billy said, I got somebody to bring. He called me and asked me if I wanted to go. And I was like, are you kidding, man? Hell yeah. of course I did. Because that's, you know, that's where everybody, especially guys our age.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of getting into business, you know, and still young and stuff didn't hurt. And, you know, love the lifestyle, if you know what I mean.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
That was a great place for them. So, we went up there, and I can't remember if we worked either Ian or Axel. I can't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. On a house show, it was a 2-on-1 match. It was just something thrown together. I think it's part of being show up or something. Anyway, so we get to the TV that Saturday night, and we're the Eliminators. And, I mean, you know, I knew it was going to be tight, but, you know, hell, that's kind of the way me and Billy worked anyway. But but I remember when Paul Lee hadn't seen me.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Lee hadn't seen me yet. Well, when I got there, and after we did that little thing with Axel, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
Paul sent Scorpio out, and Scorpio told him, hey, I don't want you bumping too much. You know, he's got an idea for you. He don't want you bumping too much. So we get there to Saturday night, and we're sitting there talking to the match, and everything's real cool, you know. But we're talking to the match, and Billy says, hey, they don't want him bumping a whole lot. And Perry smiled, you know, it's kind of, everybody bumps around here.
Real quick, I kind of got lost. It might be me. Billy, when you say Billy, who's Billy?
Billy Black.
Okay,
Billy Black. I think he worked up there for Corny a little bit. But yeah, no, we got the match, and I did absolutely everything I could do, and even tried some shit I wasn't even sure I could pull off.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, you know, go for broke. I was skinning the cat, you know, and I'm six, you know, really was about 6'7", you know, about 305.
Yeah.
I'm skinning the cat. I'm jumping off top rope, damn elbow drops, and just, you know, flying around like a damn cruiserweight.
Yeah.
But, but yo, I mean, I mean, you know what it was.
The thing is, Jimmy was getting at though the Eliminators, man. When me and Jamie, like, we got our little debut, small guy heel, gimmick break in Memphis, right? And so with that, then we went to Mexico, did that for a little bit, and then when we came back, that's when Randy Hells had the book and gave us the push. Well, the first team that we faced when we came back was the Eliminators, and they were fresh out of Japan, stiffer and greener than fuck, and wanted to get all their shit in. And they wanted to. I mean, they were going to. You know what I'm saying? Man, what athletic, cockstrong son of a bitches both of them were, and they were beating the shit out of us, man. And I begged. I mean, after, I don't know, a couple of months, I begged, and the listeners have heard me say this 100 times, but I begged to get out of that angle, and I went to Randy, and I got him to hire Mephisto and Dante, because they were guys that I knew, and I I knew they'd take care of me a little bit. So we got them to come in on the angle after that. But yeah, I wrestled, you know, of course, Cronus died. Well, first me and Jamie went up to ECW and wrestled, and they were a lot crisper then, a lot safer. You know what I'm saying? Then later on in TNA, I worked Perry. Cronus had passed, and I worked Perry a lot in TNA, and, you know, absolute professional, cool dude, and I hate what's happened to him. I wish I could talk to him.
Anybody's
got any contact out there listening, let me know. But yeah, that's what he was getting at. I just thought they were, God, they were stiff, man.
Yeah. Oh, they were, but, you know, like I said, I think, but, you know, by the time they got to ECW, because, you know, well, I mean, I remember it being snug, but, you know, wasn't nothing crazier.
Let's talk about Memphis, man. So you get into Memphis and whatnot. I guess, how'd you get there? And then see, because I don't think, me and you really didn't, like, we knew each other and we wrestled each other a few times, whatever, but we didn't hang out or nothing. Who'd you hang with up there? Was it Bullfrog Brains? And Billy John?
He never got out there when I was there.
Who's that?
Bulldog Brains.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought he was there when you...
Yeah, he came after I did. He came with me a few times because I was trying to get him a, you know, job.
And folks, we're talking about Bulldog Reigns. That was just Billy Travis's way of, he used to like to mess everybody's name up, and that was Bullfrog Brains.
The first time I came out there after I got signed with New York, the first time I came out there, I came out there as Punisher, because I really didn't have, you know, they was just like, okay, you know, what you want to do? And I was like, I was Punisher, Smoke Mountain. I've always wanted to, you know, I played all these different characters, and all of them wear some kind of suit or jeans. You know, and I really always
foreshadowing, bro. You end up being a cop. You had to have some kind of uniform.
But I just always wanted to come out there in trunks and, you know, some knee pads. So that's what I did out there. But Dwayne Johnson and Bart Sawyer, both came out there. We all three signed at about the same time. And I think I got there like a week or two after they did, because they had already had the tag belts, I believe. Because my first day there, me and Tony Falk worked him and Bart on TV. So we kind of, you know, got to know each other. So we were kind of, I guess you'd say, you know, hanging out back in on that run. And we, you know, we'd make a lot of trips together, you know, them Louisville trips, man. You know better than anybody. But you know, different people would jump in with us, like Brian Christopher, he'd jump in with us. Brick House would jump in.
You got a good, just any good Memphis road trip story, or just something that was funny in Memphis that you remember?
Oh, God, yes. Wow. So me and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Bart Sawyer and Brick House Brown had jumped in with us.
What a crew.
And so we get up there, you know, do show. We're on the way back. We had done got through Nashville. We was done on the home stretch there coming toward Memphis. And Rocky is sitting, Rocky and Bart sitting in front. Me and Brick are sitting in the back. I see Rocky kind of start turning up his nose and like, oh, what is that? And Brick's sitting back there, and I see him because he's right behind him. You know, now he's feeling it, you know. And now Bart, you know, is like, what the hell is that? Rocky turns around and said, did everybody take a shower before we left Louisville Gardens? Like, now I'm smelling it, you know. And all of a sudden, Bart just arches his back, like one of those horror movies where they're walking backwards on their tiptoes. He bows his back up and starts screaming. A stink bug.
Yes.
One of those stink bugs had got down his shirt and
bit Bart's
him
shirt,
and then did its thing, and it was like a skunk in the car.
Oh my God.
We had to stop, get out of the car, let the car fumigate. Everybody had to apologize to Bart because we, you know, hell, we thought, you know, he just hadn't washed his, you know, in a while.
Man.
So we all had to apologize to Bart.
I'm going to tell you two funny things right here when you say that story, because first of all, I have never smelt a stink bug. I know what they are. I've killed a bunch of them. I put them in a paper towel and I flush them down the toilet. Never smelt one.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what that smells like. But where I thought you was going body on that odor. Story, and yeah. God rest his soul, he was one of my best friends, man. I love Brickhouse Brown. But there was a time I thought you were going to say that it was him because, man, I would wrestle him, and you couldn't wash that shit off with Ajax, man. And it was to the point, I swear to God, I love him to death. God rest him. But man, there was a point where we had to go to Randy and be like, man, somebody's gonna say something to Brick, man. I swear to God, true story. I said, somebody's gotta say something. And we were working with him and the gambler. I said, somebody's gotta say something, man. I mean, he's my friend. I don't wanna say, you know. And so they did, but it was he come back and said somebody he was taking garlic pills, and that's what the fuck it smelled like, was garlic pills and butthole. And it was bad. But it was garlic pills. But yeah, how many times you ever worked somebody like you, and you wrestle in Georgia, me in Tennessee, and I've done Georgia too, some of those outlaw guys, man, you wrestle them, they came straight from work where they've been out in the heat.
And switch
clothes and come out in the ring with you, and they ain't got no showers at the building, and you got to ride home smelling that motherfucker the whole way.
Yeah. they just got off 12 hours at feed mill.
Ain't that terrible? Hey, well, tell me. All right, go. I know he went to Japan. Let's hear some Japan stuff, Jimmy. I know you got some dates or something, right?
Oh, I mean, well, basically, I mean, he had WWF, MCW, WWF. Then he makes it to All Japan, where he joins a stable, ROD. Tell us about that ROD stable.
ROD, yeah. So Mike Awesome had got let go, and he was already over there. And Jerry Toot Wall from WCW, big guy, like, you know, 6'8", so sweetheart guy. He was already over there. So Taka Michinoku, who had also, I think he just left on his own. He got fed up with it and took off. But he was working for All Japan, and he was one of, you know, he's kind of in with Muda, who was on the company now. This was after Mr. Baba died. Taka kind of remembered the people, I guess, you know, that looked out for him when he was in New York, because everybody didn't, you know. But he basically said, hey, he turned him heel, and he cut a big promo, like, you know, at Tokyo Dome or something, and said, hey, all my friends ain't from Japan. I got friends in other places, and you about to see them. So he starts bringing us in. Me and D-Lo get there, and they're so proud. They bring out a box. They say, okay, we have you T-shirts. And we're like, hell yeah, we can hit down ground running. They pull out this T-shirt, and let's see, what was it? It was Ragged, R-A-G-D. roughly aggressive, dangerous group or some shit like that. And we looked at him like, we're gonna be ragged. So we talked about it as a group, and we were like, I ain't gonna be damn ragged.
Nah.
So we go back to him, and it's basically Lost in Translation.
Well,
they say stuff ain't the way we would say it. So,
exactly.
You know, kind of backwards. So they came back to us, and said, well, do you have any ideas? And we were like, well, what about, you know, if you want to use like rough, aggressive, whatever it was, you know, what about ROD? That sounds a little better, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, okay, great idea. Let's do it. So me and D-Lo came, and then Eki Umaga.
Yeah. Umaga,
And PJ.
Just Incredible.
From EC, Just Incredible.
Yeah.
He came. And it's
KG 187 at one time, he was called.
He was our
third guy.
We were all over as a group. And then, like, first, right out of the gate, me and Mike are tag team, which I was, you know, stoked because I was a big Mike Awesome fan. So we were tag team right first night, right off. He German suplexes a guy, and the guy lands on his face and crushes his orbital socket.
Then
Jerry Toot, he'd had some problems in the past, and he had a heart attack on the last night of the tour. So it, and PJ didn't come back, so it wound up being me, D-Lo, Taco was the leader. It was me, D-Lo, Ecky, and there was a guy already over there named Ty Kell. He's a pretty big star in all Japan when Mr. Bob owned it. And he had stayed because, you know, for the people that don't know the story, after Mr. Baba died, there was a big fight between Mrs. Baba, who actually owned the company now, and Misawa, who's, you know, basically the booker. Misawa took everybody and left. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody, like even like the ring boys. Yeah. He took everybody and left. There was like three or four people that stayed. Kale was one of them. Yeah. So it wound up being us four, and we started out as heels, but you know, I think I just think whatever we were doing, it was cool to the Japanese fans, and so they, you know, we just kind of turned ourselves face. But yeah, we had a good run there. Once we turned face, they had to bring in some heels for us, so they brought in. I'm horrible with names. I can't remember the names. But Albert came, down in NXT now. He came in with them. Johnny Stamboli came in with them. Chuck Palumbo came in there with them. Because, all these guys had got released in the meantime. And so,
big guys, man. See, that's the advantage.
Oh, yeah.
I was in that middle range, man. I could work with you big guys, and I could catch the little guys and do their shit. But I was in that middle range, man. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah, but yeah, I mean, you know, really, that's perfect spot. You can work with everybody.
It is now.
Yeah.
Remember in the early '90s into probably '95, man. It was like, you know, we went up again. To the listeners, I told this story, but I'm telling you, we went up there in 95 for two matches, got a win over some job guys, and then had a match with the Smoking Guns for the titles in a two-segment match as the USWA Tag Team Champions. Cut great promos, but guess what? They're too small. Mm-hmm. That was when they had reinforced rings for Yoko and all them huge guys that were up breaking rings, and we were too – man, we look like midgets compared to Billy and Bart. Holy shit, man. I mean, I'm not that – you know, I gained some weight since then and obviously wrestling now, but you know what I mean. But back then, man, hell, I was 20 years old, man. Oh, they're too small. They're too small. But,
Yeah.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South, and I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, The Scorpion, The Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at SteveBowtieBryant@iCloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com, that's B-U-I-E, homes.com, or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Here's what I want to know now. We got to get to everybody's got a Japan story of a young boy tried to get cocky, or I had to show this son of a bitch that the Americans don't take this shit, though. And your big ass, I'm pretty sure they tested you. So give me one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So me and D-Lo figured out. Oh, no. So D-Lo called me up after he got released, and we were talking, and we were both, that's where we want both get to. And we both got the call, hey, we want y'all to come over. And it, I think the first tour we did was in October. So we were talking back and forth on the front because we'd known each other ever since Smoky Mountain.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, they're going to try us when we get off the plane. I said, yeah, I figure. He said, just light them up and, they won't be doing it long. So we kind of already agreed when we, got off the plane. Sure enough, first night in, they give us some, not green guys, but, kind of the middle of the road guys that, are Wolfie pissed off because they're
like Debbie Dundee. Yeah.
They're pissed off for, whatever, because they're not top of the card. But, we got out there and right out of the gate, one of them hit D-Lo with a forearm pretty stiff, and he come back with a damn. I mean, he came from left field with one. And so after that, we just, he looked at me and I was like, he gave me the Iggy and I said, all right, here we go. So we just got in there and beat the shit out of him. Really. And then we didn't let up.
Yeah.
I mean, we started doing it every night. So we get all
okay. Are we talking? Let me ask this. Are we talking stiff in good places, just really stiff, or are we talking stiff in wherever the fuck it lands?
No. We didn't break no noses, nothing like that. Yeah. But as far as like lighting people up, oh yeah, we started lighting them up.
I got you.
But so we go through the whole tour. We get back around to the final night, and it's me and D-Lo against Muda and a guy named Arashi. Was his partner, and they had tag belts. And this was, I believe, this was Budokan, I think. I don't think it was Tokyo Dome. So we get around to that, and we go sit down with Muda. We go sit down. We're going to talk about, what we're going to do. And Muda says, Muda is one of the coolest dudes I've ever met.
Yeah.
In the ring and out of the ring. I mean, even though he was our boss, we had a lot of respect for him and everything, but he just, I don't know. What
an incredible, he was one of my favorites as a kid, man.
Well, he was like a god over in Japan. So he had like an entourage that traveled with him, the young boys and people to do this for him too, Anyway, so we sat down with him. He's sitting there smoking a cigarette, just cool as can be. They're taping his legs up.
Can you see that? That's funny to me when I think of that.
Did it come out as green mist?
Did he blow out green smoke?
No, he just, it went to Salem.
North Carolina, right.
But the young boys are down there, one on each side, they're taping his knees up because his knees were shot. I mean, they had to tape him up to keep him straight where he could work. He's sitting there, he takes a puff off his cigarette and he says, I like American style, easy. Me no like Japanese stiff style. me and D-Lo walked out and said, okay, so the boss he wants us to calm down a little bit, at least for him anyway.
So
we go out there and we had a very American match.
No Brody, no Hansen.
No, not that night. And if you watch it, I've watched it back now. When there was a big difference when Hansen was hitting some of those guys and when he was hitting Mr. Baba.
Sure.
Absolutely. And we all know that in the business. Sometimes, man, and I don't remember if you were there quick enough before it stopped being, there was a point kind of in the early 90s still had job guys, but then about 95 and on, you didn't have it anymore. And so early 90s, like Memphis TV had the worst enhancement talent, job guys, carpenters, whatever you want to call it. You literally, they would make you mad, but you're on TV. You literally had to do the moves to them. I think it made me a better wrestler. I can legit arm drag somebody. I can't, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you just got to walk them through it, man.
Yeah.
So give me a cool Japan nightlife story.
Oh, dude.
Oh man, yeah. Let me see which one we can talk about on there. We found out pretty quick that And we'd always heard, you know, that the Yakuza had a hand in wrestling. I think one time it did. I don't know if it was as much now as it was then.
As right. Say that again.
The Yakuza.
I'm sorry.
Like the mob.
Oh, yeah, the mob.
But the Japanese mob. Yeah. The Yakuza.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They loved wrestling, and they loved us. So every town we would go to, there would be whoever the boss of that town was, you know, he'd have a big shindig for us. And it was always all you can eat, you know, go out. The deal over in Japan is you go out to eat first.
Yeah.
Then you go gamble, go to the pachinko bar or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they take you to whatever, you know, nightlife or nightclub or whatever, you know, you want to go.
Whatever you're into.
Yeah. So, the bosses loved us. So every town we would go to, you know, they would invite us out. You know, so one night we were in this town, and Taka told us just as we were pulling in the bus, you know, Taka said, okay, guys, tonight we have good sponsor. Boss, take everybody out. So we go back to the hotel, get a shower, get ready. They'll be there and pick us up, and we'll go. So, like, cool, you know, we're hooked up. Well, we go out and do the show, do the match. We get in the bus. Everybody's sitting on the bus. And I want to say it was still kind of, you know, warm outside. Because it had a couple of the windows were open. Well, we hear something in the – now, and mind you, this is Japan. People don't own guns. People don't, you know, if there's one murder a year, it's big news because that kind of stuff just don't happen.
Right.
So we hear pop, 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 pop. And – we thought it was fireworks because, you know, you just don't hear that in Japan. So, oh, somebody lit off some fireworks. Well, everybody's still getting on, loading up the bus. Taka's in the back. Taka's phone rings. It's about 30 minutes later. Taka's phone rings. Oh. Okay. Taka walks to the front of the bus, says, okay, guys, dinner canceled. And we're like, what? What the? You know, we're all, what the hell? Come on. Oh, you know, throwing stuff at. You know, he's like, no. Maybe boss die.
Oh, man.
Like, huh?
Yeah.
So what had happened, the pop, pop, pop we heard was on the other side of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this boss had a beef with another boss. So come and took him out right there in the middle of the damn parking lot.
Dang.
Wow.
So and then, Taka, Taka explains this to us.
Yeah.
You know, he says, okay, this is what happened. That was, and we're like, why the hell are we still sitting here? Let's go. So we get on the road, and first they're like, okay, you know.
I think this is when you decided for sure you wanted to be a cop.
But they're like, okay, we can stay in this town. And we're like, no, hell no, we're not staying in this. It was like, okay, maybe we drive back to Tokyo tonight, which was like a 6-hour drive. And we're like, let's go, you know. Well, then they come back and said, okay, we stay here tonight. We're like, no. And like, it's okay. You know, apparently somebody knew because I guess this other boss liked us.
Yeah.
So, you know, they sent the word that, hey, don't worry, you guys are fine. This was between us, you know, this guy. So so we wind up staying in that town, and I mean, we're like, you know, paranoid,
looking over your shoulder.
Did you have a good night's sleep or one eye open?
No.
Pillow tight?
So before we, you know, like I say, it was four of us, me, Eki, Kale, and D-Lo. When we got to the room, we had to get together and you know, have something to calm our nerves down. So. We did that, and we got our nerves calmed down, but at the same time, probably turned ourselves pretty paranoid.
Is you sat in a circle and did yoga?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Just making sure.
So,
you know, I got to dig deep when you tell me something.
Yeah. So when we finally adjourned the yoga class there, I go back to my room. I'm sitting on my bed. You know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe this is cool. Maybe it's all right. And I hear a knock on my door.
Uh-oh.
And I said, oh, God, this is it. I literally I got up in the middle of my bed, was hiding around the corner, you know, from the door. it knocks again. And now I'm sweating. I mean, I'm like, really, you know, keeps knocking. It don't go away. And I'm like, shit. And I walk over there, and they didn't have the peephole on it. So there was no peephole. You couldn't look out and see who it was.
Dude.
Damn. So I said, oh, my God, this is it. This is it. As I'm unlocking the door, I open it up, and Cass standing there with my leather jacket. He said, you forgot your jacket, bro.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. How slow did that knob turn when you opened it?
Oh, God, man. Well, I said, you know, what would be the odds?
Or did you jerk it open?
You know, me being the first one. Surely they would, you know, try to take out one of the other guys first. Surely I wouldn't be the first one, but.
Right.
You know, you're the biggest one. They go for you first.
Yeah.
That's but, the way it is in the cars, right?
we had a blast. I mean, it was fun over there. We had a good time.
That's one place I wish I would have got to go. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But, man, the guy that I worked for, you know, Mexico's notorious for kidnappings and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't work for AAA, but I worked for what was kind of their opponent in 1994, whatever that was. But anyway, the guy, this was after I left, the promoter, he got kidnapped by the cartel and all that kind of stuff. They held him for ransom.
Jeez.
And then you know, the stuff that I did on the streets there, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I made it home. So give me a good, you were in WWE when it was, you know, it was hot. So give me, I know you got a ton of them, but what's some... Just funny stories, man. That's what I want to hear. I don't want you to knock nobody. I want you to tell me something funny.
Oh, shit. There's plenty of them.
Like tagging with Boss Man or something, you know? I'd love to hear about that.
Oh, God. We were in the car one day. I think it was me, Ray, and Teddy Long.
Yeah.
And we had some kind of SUV. And, you know, you just had to know Ray. Just a sweetheart. I mean, you'll never meet anybody to say a bad word about Ray Charlie.
Yeah.
Just nicest, coolest, awesome. You know, guy. But we're in the SUV, and Teddy said, "Oh, hey, we gotta get gas. Hold on." Ray snaps it left, jumps a median. This thing pukes out all kind of stuff. It was still running somehow, but just like you know, we left stuff laying in the road.
Wow.
Lands, bounces into the damn gas station. He said, you know, and I don't know what to say. You know, I'm still like new in here. You know, I ain't saying shit. And Tay's like,
right.
What the hell? And Tyree's like, it's just rental. I got one you will appreciate because you know it.
All right.
So remember when we came down to Memphis as a truth commission?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So they rented us a van. WWE rented us a van that we could all ride in. So we were all riding together. Well, they brought us up to Stamford for a week before we came down there to learn how to march and salute and do all that stuff.
Right.
So we're up in Stamford. Well, I think it was like maybe the first Shotgun Saturday Night.
Oh, yeah.
Was live from Grand Central Station.
Yeah, I remember. We were right there.
Yep. So we drove down in this rental. We drove down. Now, remember our original leader was Robin, the commandant,
right.
The actor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This guy was an actor, but he wasn't a wrestler. I mean, he never been in wrestling at all. He never watched it, nothing. So he was really learning on the fly. But he was also South African.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we go down there, we go in, you know, we hang out, watch the show. It was great, you know. Well, it's snowing a little bit because I think it was in November, December. It's snowing a little bit. So we get back out to the car, and the windshield's iced over.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, shit, let me look in here. They should have, you know, one of the little plastic scrapes in here.
Yeah.
Well, I hear Robin get out of the back and says, oh, lad, I've got it.
Oh, no.
He goes out, and he's scraping, and the ice is coming off. We're like, hell, yeah, scraping. Mike Halleck. Remember Mike Tank, big guy?
Yeah.
Mike's sitting in there. Mike's driving. Mike's sitting in there, and I look in. I see his face and his eyeballs just popping out and his veins are coming out of his, and he's like, Robin, you stupid, you know, whatever.
Oh,
and I look, Robin had got a crushed Dr. Pepper can
man.
And was trying to get the ice off the windshield. We scratched that damn windshield. You couldn't even see out of it.
Oh my gosh.
Just like bent it in like half or something?
Yeah, you know, he just stepped on it and crushed it down so it fit the palm of his hand. And he was out there just wearing his shit out. You could not, I mean.
He just piped your window. What the fuck?
Yes. This is a rental car and our name's on it. Man. Oh, I think more specifically, Mike's name was on it.
Right.
But but you know, he's from South Africa, so you know, he ain't never seen snow or ice or none of that shit, so he don't know what.
Right.
But has he seen glass before and know that you can't put aluminum up against
it? Well, that, you know, and of course that was the first thing that Mike brought up. You know, I tried to, I knew what was going on. I tried to calm the situation down. But yeah, Mike was like, well, God damn it, he's seen glass before. He knows what metal does too.
Absolutely.
Needless to say, that was a long ride back.
Hey, let me ask you this, man. So, I'm going back to the cop stuff, and all y'all can kiss my ass. going back to the cop stuff. Do they got a name for you? What do they call you, man? I know you're fixing to say they just call me Barry or call me Buchanan. They don't got no nickname for you?
No, everybody calls me Bull. I'll be honest with you. If somebody calls me anything other than Bull now, I don't even know it. You know, I have to say it two or three times, you know.
Say
my real name, Barry. Yeah, I'm just so used to it. Everybody just.
That's funny because I'm the same way. Like, if somebody don't go Wolf or Wolfie, they say Warren, like my girlfriend calls me that. That's different. But anybody else that says Warren, or if they go Kelly, which is my first name, then I'm like, they really don't know me. If they call me Warren, they might have known me when I was a kid or something like that. But I feel you.
Which is funny. Jamie says Kelly sometimes. It's funny. He knows you better than anybody. He just
does that plan.
Okay.
No, and you're thinking about Randy, too, because Randy, hey, Warren Kelly. And then Jeff Jarrett does the same thing. Warren Kelly.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then Smothers, when we call each other on the phone, would be whoever called would say it first. I'd go, Smothers, Warren. He'd go, Warren. Smothers.
Oh man,
Tracy. So when I signed with I was down there in Memphis working with y'all, and WWE came to Nashville, and they said, "Hey, we got you booked on this house show." So I was like, "Hell, great!" You know? So I go out and I think somebody had already told me I was working Tracy. So I got to work Tracy, but I'd also met Sid Vicious down there, you know, and kind of, you know, jihad with him a little bit. So,
yeah.
So I got to the arena that day, and Tracy's trying to call spots with me, you know, or you know, see what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Sid keeps like, you know, coming in and saying, "Oh, yeah, he's great. He can do that. And I can see the tension building there, you know, I'm like, Jesus Christ, not let me be in the middle of this.
Right.
You know, I think Tracy finally was like, "God damn, I know him. I know what he can do." You know?
That's perfect. I love it.
I'm sitting there like, "Oh, Jesus, I got heat and I ain't done nothing yet." But we went out there and, you know, pulled it out. Of course, Tracy, you know, hell.
Oh, yeah.
Pulled it right off and had a great, you know, good little match. God, that's awesome. He was so funny. I miss him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We all do.
So, okay, you're working the Truth Commission gimmick, which I always love that you're like anti-apartheid soldiers or whatever. And it leads you, you're working with Kurgan Interrogator, and it leads you into actually, and we'll say it right now, Wolfie's a mark for this team. I'm an absolute mark for this team. You're probably a mark for this team. You ended up getting to work LOD a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us some stories about working the goats.
They were, well, see, and this is just, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, nobody in this business is totally successful on their own.
Sure.
You got to have help, you know, and usually a lot of help from a lot of different people. Well, for some reason, to this day, I still don't know, but they didn't bring Mike Hallett Tank. They didn't bring him up to the main roster. Mm-hmm. But so we went up to do a dark match, I think on Shotgun, and they didn't bring Mike. Mike's calling me, and I'm like, "Dude, I don't know. You know, I ain't heard nothing."
Yeah.
And we get up there, and there's a guy, not with us, but there's another guy up there doing a tryout match. His name is Rambo. He wrestled as Rambo over in Germany for Otto Wands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, everybody up in New York knew Luke Poirier was his real name. But everybody had been through Germany. Hawk and all those guys had been through Germany and had worked right. with him. And he was a real cool guy. And he hooked them up, you know, made sure they had, you know, whatever they wanted, booze, you know, a place to stay, you know. He treated them right. So now I'm automatically in with all these guys, which I had met Mike and Joe on the Indies before. But, you know, now I got somebody we're really in with.
Yeah,
so, yeah, we got to work them. And I remember they, you know, they said they asked me, they said, do you mind taking the Doomsday? I said, no, hell no. And he said, how do you want to bump? I said, I'm going to cut a flip. He said, you want me to hit you and drive? I said, no. I said, you can hit me, but I said, I'm going to do the whole flip. I'm going to do the flip myself.
Yeah.
And sure enough, got up there, you know, and you know, Mike tapped me just a little bit, and I just cut a damn flip, you know, and landed and looked like I killed myself. And, so we got over with
it. I take it in a few times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really not that bad.
Nah.
But, so, you know, we kind of got to where we'd hang out with them a little bit. And,
not when you're 6'6" and 300 pounds, it's not that bad, probably. But.
Yeah. But we were in, and then this all kind of ties into a bunch of stuff. We were in Minneapolis for a house show. We had a pay-per-view that next night in, I think it was St. Louis, Kansas City. We're in Minneapolis. And Hawk and or Mike and Joe said, hey guys, we're going to take you out to a family restaurant. family in quotation marks, family restaurant. it was a family restaurant, but it was like the family, if you know what I mean, you know, in Minneapolis, the bosses, you know, that the family. Yeah, so they took us out. I mean, just, you know, all you could eat, you know, just loads of, took us out, you know, treated us like, you know, rock stars.
Yeah.
But before we left the arena, we were all leaving the arena. And we were walking with Mike and Joe because I think we were going right from there, you know, to the restaurant, you know, to eat. And Brian Pillman was walking by.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike said, see you later, Ben. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian looked at him and he just said, fuck you. And what? Kept walking. Yeah. And we were like, what the hell? So, you know, I didn't know if they had heat or anything, but
he said that to Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, this was later on, you know, this, you know,
yeah.
Mike and Joe were a little more, I guess, lenient, you might say, you know what I'm saying? A little older, a little less, piss and vinegar, but, you know, it just, I don't guess it, you know, it wasn't no big deal to us. So we're going to have the night. We get to wherever we're at next day for the pay-per-view. People are running around, you know, how they are backstage at a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And Cornette's like going room to room. And we hear they're looking for Brian Pillman. Mm. That was the night he died in Minneapolis.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
He said, fuck you, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. He's fixing to say this was that. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah. You know, so but I didn't know if him and Mike had, you know, some kind of heat between them, but whatever. But, you know, I think he was just, I mean,
you were
around him too, I think, you know, he just
Pillman, looked, just a little bit Hawk more than Pillman. I was only around.
Oh yeah. But Brian just always seemed like he was, not in a bad, you know, just like, I don't know. He just didn't look like he was in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know, but that was after he'd had the broke ankle and everything and all that.
Of course. Yeah. He suffered a lot of setback, man. He really did.
Yeah.
That shit can, you know, as athletes, man, that's why, you know, the Brett Favres and the guys that, you know, do it for love of the game, when they retire, they cry, you know? I mean, it's like, it's love of the game. And some people ain't in it for that, you know? And I could go on and say I don't think people like Batista ever got in it for the right reasons, because like I knew him when he first got in, and how he treats it, and then Brock in a little way, but you know, whatever, I don't care. But there are those guys that did it for the love of the game, man. You know, and I've that's my people, you know. And not that I dislike the others, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying people for love of the game, you know, the Tracy Smothers of the world and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
for sure. So I mean, there's so much more we could talk about. Maybe we'll just get you part two coming up. But you know, you obviously you're doing one of my favorite gimmicks, right to censor. You end up becoming John Cena's heater. I don't want to just act like these are flippant deals. These are actually very important deals to your career, and you actually end up working Kane and Undertaker a lot and cool things like that. But the main thing that I think I really want to talk about is, man, second generation Brooks Jensen, NXT, dude, he's killing it. And how's that going, man?
Oh, it's going good, man. I knew since he was a little kid that he had the same look in his eyes I did when I watched wrestling. And I just knew. I said, oh God, you know, here he goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he grew up, he had all the dolls and all the rings and stuff. And then, you know, he'd go to these indie shows with me when I'd come back from Japan. And, you know, he'd get in the ring afterwards and play around. But he was about 14, and he asked me, he said, will you train me to be a wrestler? And I said, let's train you to be a referee first.
Yeah.
Because to me, if you have the chance and can ref before you actually start wrestling, you know, it lets you be in the ring.
That's
and not necessarily be the total focal point.
Right.
So you're out there in front of the crowd. Not to say that it's a very important job, but you know what I'm saying. Most of the time, the people have their eyes on the wrestler.
Yes, but the referee can make it or break it. And that's a great mentality.
Yeah.
I like that, man.
Yeah. But, it, you know, it lets them get their feet wet and get out in front of the crowd and say, okay, is this what I want to do?
Yeah.
So he did that for about a year. And when he would go do it, I would, we would train in the ring, you know, before that. And, he started getting himself booked on the indies, and he got an offer from down there. He did a thing for Evolve while they were still in bit right before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
He did a seminar, and Regal was there, and he got to work a match, and me and Regal talked a little bit, and you know, I told him, I said, I really want him to get a little more experience before he comes, you know, maybe, you know, go to Japan for a minute, or you know. Because he was only like 18 at the time. So anyway, after the pandemic hit, shuts everything down, you know. So when things starting to open back up, Regal calls me and says, hey, you know, we'd like to bring him in for tryout. And I said, yeah, I mean, give him a shot, give him a call. So he went down there, and, you know, it's all been him since then.
Dude, he's absolute stud, man. I mean, he's a good-looking kid. He must have took after his mama, I guess. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he did, absolutely.
No, I hope the best for him, because I enjoy watching that. You know, he was a former NXT tag champion. It's awesome stuff, man.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah. I got another son, just turned 17. He's got a match Saturday night up in where's that? It's right up there around Chattanooga somewhere.
The Buchanans are becoming the Armstrongs.
I know,
maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
Who'd have thunk it?
And bull instead of bullet. Come on.
Yeah.
I love
dude,
it.
Dude, hey, man, it's great hearing your voice, man. It's been so long since I talked to you. I'm so like thrilled about your new thing. I really want your department to reach out to On Patrol to try and get them to follow you guys around, especially you, so I can watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks, man. And
no problem.
Appreciate y'all listening. And is there anything you want to plug, man? I mean, I know, hey, don't get caught by me is probably the best thing that anybody in your area can do. But any wrestling stuff coming up or anything?
I'm getting a ring and trying to find a place to put it open up a school up, but.
Right on.
Got the ring, but I'm just trying to find a place to, you know, once I can do that, I'm going to start advertising and, Bobby Ken's, whatever's going to be training school.
Let us know.
David Young is going to be your trainer, right? I can just guess that right out of the blue, right?
Oh yeah. You know, most of the bad decisions I made in life involved David Young in some way or something. And I know he'll hear this and I know he'll get a good kick out of it.
What did he do?
What has he not done?
That's the best. I've got a story about David, but me and David only know that one. And
plenty of those.
It's so it involves other people and stuff. So
yeah, no, he's a great dude, man.
One awesome. Real good and friend. He was he's a good dude. I love him. Great worker too. But Barry, thank you so much. Bull, for coming on.
Oh,
you know, I know. Mr. Officer, what do we call you? Officer Bull or
Bull on Night Court? That's what everybody calls me.
Bull on Night Court. That's funny. Oh my gosh.
Yes, that's even better.
People ask me all the time, is that where the bull come from? I said, no, it's from wrestling.
Yeah, seriously.
Man, thank you, dude. I appreciate you coming on here. And like I said, again, it's been great talking to you, man. And seriously, like anything I say, like I'm a fan, dude. And we appreciate it. We appreciate the listeners.
Before we go off air, I want to say this. You and Jamie were the first two people when I got there to Memphis. Mm-hmm. Y'all were the first two people that kind of made me feel comfortable. You know, I think at that time, you know, coming in and people knowing you had a contract, you know, up there, they really they shy away from you a little bit or, you know, but you two were I felt comfortable around y'all.
So we were just crazy. You were watching the show of PG-13.
That's not what everybody says. Yeah.
What are you doing today?
Yeah.
But, thanks. And before we let you go, we're going to let the listeners know, Jimmy, if I got to answer a bunch of questions here when we come back from break.
Yeah, Bull, here's the thing. Every show we do a little segment called Ask Wolfie D Anything. So after the show drops and you listen to it, you may have to arrest some people for asking him such crazy questions. So.
Hey, Wolfie, what's that dude's name that got away down there in whatever Bull's county is? Yeah, what if they start asking me police questions? I done told Jimmy, true crime is like the most watched stuff on Netflix and all that, and it's also the most listened to podcast. So today has kind of like given me my wrestling and my true crime stories. So I'm happy. Thank you, Bull. And Jimmy, go ahead, hit the music. We'll be back with Ask Wolfie D Anything.
DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And Wolfie D, man, Bull Buchanan is awesome, dude. That's awesome.
what a great show, man. We could have kept going and going and going, man. But, you know, but maybe there'll be a part two. Just, you know, we'll bring him back.
If
everybody's listening,
give
you something to hang on to.
Yeah. Well, there was a whole lot more to talk about, but honestly, I felt like we got a good show. And now we're on to the Ask Wolfie D Anything, where the listeners themselves can become involved with the show. So first off, we've got listener at Cause Effect on Instagram. Here's a good question here, and I've never actually heard you answer this. So what was the most overwhelming moment that you've had in a wrestling ring where you had to pinch yourself? You kind of had goosebumps.
I mean, I guess it would have to be WrestleMania or Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, just because of what it was.
Sure.
But the Royal Rumble was just the most people that I had gotten to walk out in front of. I won't say wrestle because it wasn't in the match. It was just coming out with Farouk.
Yeah.
I didn't be a little bit involved, but still. It was an amazing sight. 60,000 people.
Yeah, dude, that's nuts. Oh man, yeah, that's awesome.
Those moments were pretty. It's like whoa. People wonder why we get out there. You know, we make it to that type of stuff, and you know, get accustomed to that, and then all of a sudden, you're in fucking Nashville, you know, an outlaw show, and you. Like, God, you know, it's depressing.
Right.
What happened? When you know damn well what happened, but some people don't know, I guess. But I think it took me a minute to really realize what happened.
Sure. Yeah. Well, hey man, that's kind of how it works sometimes. So yeah.
My answer.
Yeah, your aunts were. Yeah. Well, that was good. I mean, dude, I can't imagine not pinching yourself at those moments where you're like, hold up. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's cool. Just two boys from Nashville, Memphis, whatever, that are kind of doing their thing and walking out in front of 70,000 people. So,
yeah,
pretty cool stuff. Okay, so the next one is same guy, cause effect on Instagram. He asked this question, and this is actually interesting because I really want to hear what you think on this. So what is one thing or maybe a couple that the old school could take from the current product to make it even better than it was?
Okay, so the question is, what could the old school guys take from right now to make the current product better?
No, to have made the old school even better. Like, what are parts of, you know, like, are there elements of the old school that could have been made better? Essentially, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but it was, technology played a big part in the change of stuff, but I guess as far as psychology in the ring, I feel like I always tried to, when I said it, go to Mexico, put a little Memphis into it, you know, this is my basic learnings, teachings, put that with their style, same thing, ECW, same thing, wherever we went, whatever coast, because, you know, in the United States, it's funny, man, you go up north, you got to go one way, you come down south, you go another, you go west coast, you know, different style, so you put a little bit of just basic wrestling to me, which is Memphis style, just put it with that, man. And that's what I always did. I tried to adapt, and like as the business changed, you know, I had to speed up a little bit. Couldn't do the stuff that we did in, say, the late 80s, even though I wasn't really there, but you couldn't work those kind of matches. So I saw that and, just wanted to speed up a little bit. And
yeah.
I think I was good at trying to stay with the times, realizing things did change and were changing, and you had to do it differently. But I don't know, man. I guess that would be it. Just the guys got to be more open to certain things. Now I've sat here and knocked a lot of it. Some of it's great. It has its place. You know what I'm saying? Depending on how you're doing it, I think a lot of it is, man, if they would just the concept that they're trying to do, but slow it down. But at the same time, some of the stuff wouldn't look right if they slowed it down. But they just put all of it together where you absolutely, there's not a person sitting there that goes, well, they're really countering those moves with those flips and stuff, man. This is competitive right here, you know. These guys flipping around each other and blah blah blah. They're trying to make it like, I feel like they watch movies and go, man, we should do that. Because I ain't gonna lie, I've taken a spot off of what was the second Batman movie back where it was a lot of neon colors and they were fighting the punks with the skull faces, whichever one that was. But there was a spot in that movie where one of the guys grabbed Batman in a full Nelson. The dude comes running at him. Batman lifts up, kicks the guy, boom, he comes back, he does the head scissor gimmick and rolls both over, something like that, or arm drags one of them, but anyway, I stole the spot out of that, but it was just basically two or three little moves that were cute that I hadn't seen anybody do in the ring, but I didn't try to do the whole fight scene.
Right.
Because if you can pull stuff off like that, that's athletic as hell. But the camera has, you know, they do double takes and different camera angles and all this shit, sound effects, all that. I promise what they're doing on screen, you don't look like that in the ring.
Right. It's impossible. Yeah, because you're sitting there with one angle and it's one. So
you still got to slow it down a little bit, I think, man.
Yeah.
You still can. I know they know we're working, but
right.
I still believe they don't want to know some of them. And
give him something to believe. Give me some to believe in.
Pulling out some poison. Yeah. So, okay. So that's interesting, you know, and that, you know, that makes good sense. I think that's one thing that our former guest, Jack Vaughn, oftentimes will point out is certain things like that, where, you know, like the one recently where the guy is jumping from second rope to top rope,
Yes.
And he's just like standing there like, how long are you going to do this? You're just showing off now, you know, and it's kind of doing the Taker, Don Jardine, holding the hands, walking the top rope type deal. And yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think that was a good answer, Wolfie D. We'll leave it with you. But I got to ask this. Who did you use the Batman moves with? I got to know.
I don't remember. I've probably done it more than once, but I think it was just who would that have been?
I could just see like Doug and Tommy.
It might have been dudes on like kind of job guys, but decent ones that I could do it with. I can't remember.
Okay, I was just saying, like, Doug and Tommy saying, like, Wolfie D over here trying to do some Batman moves.
Yeah, he thinks he's fucking Batman. I'll be damned.
Hey, Doug. Wolfie Doug,
he's Batman over here. He's Batman over here. Doing no shit like that, Wolfie D.
We're just gonna do the old school walk and talk, man.
Oh, I would have even said that. Wolfie just shut up.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, well, our last one, and this is an interesting question. This is Ben Martin, as always, from Facebook. He always comes with a good question. So, did you by chance know where the ECW-USWA feud was headed before it was dropped in both promotions after Lawler and Dreamer at Hardcore Heaven 97?
No idea. I have no idea on any of that, man. I just, that was another thing where
it was above your head.
As far as the big picture, it was way above my head. Just, hey, what am I doing tonight?
Right. So, I mean, there was some cool stuff involved with that. And, you know, could have been something elemental. Do you think it was something to try to do what the Smoky Mountain feud couldn't have done or didn't get to do?
I don't remember. What year was that? That was like right before closing time, wasn't it?
97, yeah. So it was right at.
I don't think it had enough steam left.
It was just essentially a way to use Lawler and Tommy Dreamer and you and them.
I'm sure Dreamer probably really wanted to work an angle with Lawler.
We did the thing,
me and Jamie would come on Memphis TV with ECW shirts on and pro ECW and all that. And that really wasn't any kind of like ECW collaborating with Randy on the booking or whoever with the booking. I think that was just the thing we said, hey, we'll do this. And
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're home, you're going to act like you love ECW. And when you're up there, you're going to act like you hate it. And that's something that today really you can't do because everything is recorded and videotaped and all this stuff. Yeah. So those little kinds of deals where you come home and you're acting like you're all, you know, like these boys went to the big city and now they're coming back like they don't know anybody, you know? So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Got what you came from.
Yeah.
Set a match on Facebook, Brian Hardison again, always pulling out some oldies of me and Jamie wrestling each other. I think you saw it. But one of my friends, Craig Hensley from high school, pointed out that I said, and I remember, but if you watch, I forget which one it is, and I'm doing a little, I don't got much, I got shorts on, but I don't got much Wolfie D in me as far as personality, letting it come out, you know. I mean, there's just a little parts of it here and there. You can see it. I said on the microphone I was going to drop some Fifth Ward bees on him. You remember Ghetto Boys?
Dude, Scarface is my favorite rapper ever. So
my friend said, did you just say Fifth Ward bees on Facebook? I did.
That's awesome, man. I didn't notice that, man. So, dude, I noticed how super skinny you were at that time. I mean, you were just a kid. It makes sense. But Jamie had already kind of like done some stuff as far as managing and stuff. But he was the baby face and you were clearly the heel from the way you were working, at least. Right. Do you remember that being the way that it was that you were working heel? Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Because he was the well-known guy and you were the, you know.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, that was cool, dude. And Brian Hardison for the
win.
Yeah.
It's so funny that when you got recordings like that, especially that old, but just the people in the crowd, you can hear them, you know, a lot better.
Yeah.
Beat him like your daddy would, Dundee.
Dude. And Brian Turner's VHS rehab for the win on that one, because those were excellent. And, you know, like, I didn't even think we would ever see those, man. I really didn't. So. Yeah. He's got a crazy tape collection. I'm glad he's finally doing some all this stuff with it, man. So anyway, well, yeah, maybe we gotta do a deep dive on those sometimes. I definitely think a watch along is involved in that sometime. I would love to hear your Wolfie D now watching. Like, I'm sure some of it would be a cringe fest for you because you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't you do that? You know, or you might be surprised. You may be like, hey, dude, I was pretty good right there. You know,
no, so. I'm watching both of those matches that were on there, and I was like, you know, obviously I noticed some things, obviously, but
yeah,
it was not bad for what it was.
Sure, it was not. And dude, it was I liked it, man. Yeah,
anything else on the fucking show?
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it did. Well, yeah. Well, thank you, Ben, for that question. Thank you, Cause Effect on Instagram, always bringing the good questions. We haven't heard from Cause Effect in a while, so it's nice to hear them drop some questions for us there.
Cause and Effect.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know his name, but thank you, brother. Anyway. Thank you, maybe she. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you so much. And Wolfie, that is it for the day, brother. Take us on out.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Bull. Thanks, Jimmy Screet. And thank you guys for listening once again. And next week, man, we don't know what we got yet, but as usual, I'm sure we'll scramble something together. So join us next week.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
This is the big picture, Michael Jablonski. Don't forget to tune in every week to Jablonski's Pissed Off on the Mike Jablonski's Pissed Off YouTube channel.
The hot frog in the sport. He's gonna tell you all about it. He doesn't care what you think. You're gonna hear all about it. Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off.
Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off.
Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off.
Stop!
that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
I got a cat
he
for
got
your
a
dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
For your dome. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. From Rush, your mother, utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N-O-D, and I was P to the G, plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while when you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh, I got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome. We got a cap for your dome. We got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.